Alrighty, we are back again. This is Stephen McCarthy, and I'm with Carolyn Moose of fitforlivinglife.com. And we're going to be continuing a very interesting subject of skills or on-court basketball training, yoga, and nutrition. And I think for all the listeners, I think we're all pretty well aware of Kevin Love and his rise through the ranks from, you know, obviously a very, very good player and a first-round draft pick. To the last couple of years, an all-pro, you know, and really kind of taking a leadership role. And one of the big things that he did is exactly these three things. And I think I'm looking forward to hearing how these pieces work together because, you know, yoga is one of those things that usually is kind of put over in the side saying, well, that's what ladies do, you know, or that's what female athletes do, but men don't. And I think Kevin Love really broke down some of those barriers. And so, Carolyn, I'd love to hear your thoughts originally about how these three pieces tie together and how it can be great for your overall development.
Absolutely. I'm actually a huge advocate of yoga, and I was exposed to it by age 8, 9, and 10. One of my mother's good friends was a professional dancer, and she did yoga and Pilates and other forms of cross training. And then I got to a point where I thought just bulking up and getting stronger in the weight room was really my ticket, you know, to grow and develop as a basketball player. But the reality is that builds a certain type of muscle fiber, and yoga builds another type of muscle fiber. You're looking at explosiveness versus endurance, and you don't get the proprioceptor work. You don't get the really minuscule types of muscle fibers in weightlifting that you might get in yoga. So for me, it was a great way to complement the weight room. Certainly, it's not in lieu of it, and it's a great way to offset it on non-lifting days. So for me, I began yoga again my freshman year at Stanford. The swim team, which was, again, another Olympic-caliber team, they had mandatory yoga 3 times a week, and I rediscovered yoga, and then I was just so taken with it, I became certified as an ACE personal trainer, and I did receive CECs in Pilates and yoga combined, and then also for student-athlete nutrition and yoga for children, as in 5 to 13-year-olds. So I really, you know, took to it. It's helped me tremendously for injury prevention. I did want to get to your point about the misconceptions, especially, let's say, from the male athlete side, stereotypically speaking. But I've worked with NBA players. I've trained NBA players. And I know the head yoga instructor for the Clippers, for example. These are types of things that in the last 5 to 6 years have become extremely prevalent. And you can see pro athletes that time and time again can say, this is something I've done. I consistently do yoga 2 to 3 times a week in the off season. You know, in season, it's great to do because all you need is a mat and 45 minutes to an hour. And you can do that in between games. So it's something that you can take with you. It's very portable. And you also use your entire height. I'm 6'5". And you use your entire body weight. So it's easy to do on the go, on the road trip, and something you can consistently do over time. So I do feel that male athletes more and more are integrating yoga into their practice. You see more and more trainers offering it to professional athletes, and I do feel it's something that's going to be mainstream. And it, if not, it already has been.
You know, that is an interesting thing. I think one of the real big trends over the last, you know, I'm 45 years old, and during my lifetime, at anyways, has been this big focus on the Russian, very controlled weight room experience, you know, Olympic lifts, you know, and all these types of things. And one of the biggest things that those types of trainers are having is how do you actually correspond that work to the actual court? And one of the things I think that you're getting to is that these smaller muscles, these understanding of where your body is in space and these other types of questions that are going unanswered in one boat, in your boat, are answered. Can you kind of talk a little bit more about that? How does the proprioceptive awareness, why is it important?
Oh, it's huge, especially for ankle injuries, biomechanical movement and assessment. I also have CECs in biomechanical assessment, especially for taller bodies. Again, not to stereotype, but there is more room for error with a 7-footer, 6'5", versus a gymnast, you know, who's 5'1", 4'11". And anytime you come down with, you know, 300 pounds, 275, whatever it is, onto your ankles, onto your joints, the way in which you land, the way in which those muscles stabilize those key joints is absolutely essential for injury prevention. And also the speed at which you cut and the angles at which you cut are supported by all those muscle fibers that you're holding poses in with your entire body weight. So they're extremely important for, again, ankle rolls, rotator cuffs, hips joints, hip flexors, glutes, hamstrings, knees, even ACL and MCLs. They found that there are studies where those muscles surrounding those ligaments help to stabilize, especially for women who have looser ligaments once a month. So there have been, you know, very extensive studies, especially at Stanford, where they've shown yoga as a great offset to the weight room and other activities.
Amazing, because I think there's a lot to be said, and I wish we had more time to go down that path, because I think there's so much to be said about the such an emphasis on the weight room. Is that because we do at the McCarthy Project what we call naturalized training, which is basically out in the woods, and obviously you can't get 300-pound logs and you're going to be lifting those, so you do need the weight room, but you can also supplement and you can get all these other angles and all these other things that you wouldn't get by standing in a bunch of plastic all the time. So with that being said, let's now tie in the nutrition thing. How does that tie in with the yoga to become an elite performer?
Nutrition is everything. I will say anything you put in your body dictates your ratio of muscle to fat, and it also dictates your mental and your physical performance. So I will also allude to the fact I don't drink alcohol at all. I never have. I never will. Anything I put into my body is for the reason to take care of my body and to help it perform its best, both mentally and physically. Again, my personal story is I wanted to gain lean muscle tissue that was functional, and basketball is a very, very athletic sport. You have to get up and down for 40 minutes straight, which means you have to have great endurance, great explosiveness, but also be relatively lean, but also powerful. Unlike a defensive lineman where you're all muscle and just brute strength, or let's say a marathon runner where you have 100% endurance, there's a happy medium you have to strike as a basketball player. So you have that endurance, but you don't also lose your explosiveness. So for me, nutrition was the key component to build lean muscle mass and to do it in a way that was conducive to performing the best for my sport. Now, how does that translate to the rest of your life? It's really phenomenal. For me, macronutrient profiling, I specialize in glycemic index, helping even overweight patients or type 2 diabetics design their meal plans. They're very similar to athletes. You don't think about that, but how we maintain our glucose levels, how we look at the ratios of proteins, carbohydrates, and good fats within our diet and nutrition is actually something that not only benefits our physical performance in elite and pro sports, but it's something we have to take a hard look at for the rest of our lives, and how is that going to impact when we're grandparents and great-grandparents and how we're going to be energetically and vitality and longevity-wise. So for me, nutrition is everything. What I always tell athletes, no matter how hard you train, if you're not putting the right things in your body, you will not, you know, reach your full goals. You will not succeed because you're not giving the fuel, you know, for your muscles to repair, for your muscles to contract, and for your body to perform its best. And I think a lot of times, too, sleep deprivation and other components are tied into that because, again, you can be training hard, you can be eating well, but then if you don't go to sleep and you don't get your consistent hours every night, your body's not going to repair itself. So it's really three components that I take a hard look at is what are you putting in your body, how are you training, and how are you recovering from those workouts. And if somebody can really take a hard look at those and make those consistent, not just once in a while or the off-season 50-50, this is really a lifestyle component. And that's why my website is called fitforlivinglife.com, because it is about the here and now, but it's also about the projection of the person you're going to become for life.
It's amazing. So let's, because I'm always going to come back to this, because recovery in today's world is a nasty word almost, because you look at the amount of coaches that are, they've watched Miracle on Ice probably three times too many, and they've seen everybody that Herb Brooks made everybody puke, and therefore he worked them so hard that they won the gold medal. In that movie, it presents nothing about recovery. You know what I mean? It glorifies to beat the crap out of everybody. And then in this world, there are so many coaches that think that that is the solution. Could you give us a couple ideas outside of sleep how you would recommend for young athletes to promote recovery?
That's a great question. That does come back to nutrition. So, for example, when someone works out, there's a key window, 30 minutes to 45 minutes post-workout, to optimize your amino acid absorption. So I always tell athletes, have high glucose carbohydrates such as whole wheat pasta, brown rice, sweet potatoes, those types of starchy carbs, so you get the glucose back in your system, combined with a lean protein so the amino acids chain on and are absorbed properly. I think that missed window of opportunity is very common because, for example, when I'm working at private schools in LA, a lot of students have 45 minutes to an hour and a half commute time just to get home after practice or just to get home after a hard game. So it's very important for planning and preparation to take a look at what snacks are we getting throughout the day, especially for busy student athletes that are very academic and running around from class, to lunch, to practice, to this, that. You have to pack foods ahead of time. You have to think about that window of opportunity to get what you need post-workout or post-game and to plan ahead. A lot of kids don't think about a tournament weekend, what they might need, or an away game that they'll be stuck on the bus coming back home. So a lot of that involves not only the student-athlete but the parent, and that's why I encourage parents to take part in what I do to learn about it and to plan ahead. So getting that post-workout meal, also breakfast. You'd be surprised at the percentage of athletes that once in a while will tell me, oh, I was running behind, I forgot to grab something. Well, to me, that jumpstarts your day. You know, you wake up a little bit glucose deprived. Mentally and physically, you're expected to perform in the classroom. You have to have a solid breakfast, good protein, good carbohydrates, a little bit of good fat as well, and also consistency and meal timing. So I never allow more than 3 hours between meals. I do that to this day, and a lot of student athletes come to me and say, you know, it's been 4 hours since my last meal. They're running into practice, and I'm shaking my head and said, you know, you have to have something. Go get a snack and come back and join us, because you can't allow that much time to go by and expect to perform mentally or physically. You're not going to have the energy you need to do your best. So I would say time between meals, also getting that meal post-workout, and thinking about the ratios of protein, carbs, and fats, and that's something I do specialize in. A lot of student-athletes eat meals, but they don't look at the meal and say, okay, that's my protein, that's my carbohydrate, that's my good fat, and I'm getting what my body needs for that time in training and what I need, you know, at that point throughout the day.
Amazing. Because you think about just the simple, you know, the roller coaster ride, you know, at the kind of cellular chemical level, when you think about the energy sources coming late in the afternoon, spiking, you know, and they might have a Diet Coke for lunch and then rising higher and then crashing during practice. I mean, really, what you described is an amazing roller coaster that kids go on a daily basis. I am fascinated myself with the same thing. All right, so let's move on to the next piece, which is, okay, we're off the court. We got ourselves in good position, you know, physically, got our nutrition in line. Now we're going on the court. How do you view, or what kind of your thoughts related to on the court skills training?
Absolutely. Well, my personal story, as I told you, I didn't start playing basketball until the end of sixth grade, and I had teammates who had started in third grade. So as you can imagine, 3.5 years of training compared to my 0 years of training was pretty substantial. Thankfully, I was extremely athletic and 6 foot by the end of sixth grade, so obviously gravitated towards something that may call for height, but it ended up I love basketball. You know, it's something where I tell kids, if you're going to focus on basketball skill training, you have to love what you do. So long story short is that year I found myself finishing my homework and absolutely being a gym rat. I loved being in the gym. It was hard to pull me away from it. And if you see that in a child, you know they're ready for basketball skill development. Personal lessons. I shared lessons with boys. I played co-ed basketball. I didn't care if the boys, you know, sometimes were a little bit better. I played with children who are 2 or 3 years older than myself. I didn't mind losing as long as I was being pushed to be better. And I think that's the biggest mistake kids make, is they want to, you know, be the best. They want to beat someone by 10 points. They always want to be on top. But you have to realize, if you're the underdog, that's when you, you know, really learn. That's when you really get to be the best player you can be. And so my brother, 2 years older, played hockey, played football, really big guy. I'd pull him out onto the court and say, hey, play defense on me. You know, if I scored 1 out of 5 times, I was happy. You know, and I think it's that ability to push yourself and to realize that the best players that you can surround yourself with is the best way to improve and to really take a hard look at the player you're going to become. So I do believe in personal training lessons. I do believe in half-court sets. I do believe in pick-up 5-on-5. I think it's very important as a player to realize the off-season is your time to work on you. And the when you're in season, that's your time to work on the team. So there's a very strategic approach to seasonal training that I think a lot of athletes don't take a look at as much as they should. A lot of athletes say, oh, I'm going to play for the best AU team. I'm going to go play games out of state. I'm going to spend time on the road. But they don't realize that they're getting away from the weight room. They're getting away from that personal one-on-one lesson. They're getting away from their, you know, three-point shot development. I think it's very important to take time to develop your personal skills and come back a better player for your team. So there has to be a happy medium in team sports between individual development and team development.
Amazing. All right, just due to the shortness of time, unfortunately, it's funny because you brought so much information around that last 3 or 4 minutes, because that is one of the big things that I see is that so many kids are interested in just playing the games, that they play so many games that they figure out, they forget, that's a fancy term, but they forgot how to develop themselves off the court or outside of the team so that when they come back to the team, they're ready to go at a higher level. They think, well, gosh, if I just play the games, it's going to be okay. So completely with you on that. All right, so let's move over, because I think one of the big things that you're doing is you have a couple camps. You're coming back to Minnesota, and you're going to be talking more fully about these three subjects. So kind of give us a little feel on what the camps are about and a little bit of the details of them.
Absolutely. So on Monday, that is June 30th, I'm going to be working with elite FIBA and pro athletes, and I would definitely encourage elite high school athletes to join. Again, for myself, I've played with players 4, 5, 6 years older than myself, and anyone can attend that feels they're ready for that level. That will be basketball skill development combined with the yoga piece. And then on July 2nd, just a day and a half later, I'm going to be working with middle school through high school players on the basketball skill development, on the court drills, team offenses, defenses, followed by afternoon yoga as well as nutrition. And I highly encourage parents as well as student athletes to participate in the yoga and nutrition piece together. There's something really special about having the parents there side by side with their student athletes doing the actual hour of yoga and then learning about sports nutrition, because frankly, they're the ones that go to the grocery store. They're the ones that stock the fridge. And, you know, the student athletes learn alongside with their parents, and it becomes very conducive to overall development and planning and preparation. So those two events will be in Minnesota, and you can visit my website again is www.fitforlivinglife.com for more information about the times, the itineraries, and also the locations as well.
Done. Well, thank you very much, Caroline. I think you're really onto something. I think there's a lot to be said for basically filling in the cracks, you know, with these concepts and then also becoming more aware of yourself, you know, in the process. And I think that's one of the cool things about understanding yourself both nutritionally and through yoga is that you do become more aware of yourself. It's not in a selfish way, but more of probably a lot of people do put it in spiritual. I don't want to go too far into that, but talk to us a little bit more about, I guess this is my last question, because I've always wondered this. How does it prepare you mentally to play a game like that when you're doing something that's different?
Absolutely does. I mean, for me, when I'm in the weight room or let's say I go for a long run cardiovascular outside, very different personality trait in terms of, you know, attacking the weights versus perseverance is a good adjective when you go for a long cardio workout. When you do swimming workouts, pool workouts, there's a very different kind of introspection what you're getting to. When you're doing yoga, I think what it challenges is focus and being in the moment without being distracted. You know, and I think a lot of athletes, whether it's their fans or their friends or the noise surrounding them, they get distracted. You know, so it does train you to really focus on the moment, the pose, your breath, being there and not falling over. I mean, it's very common, you know, to miss your poses in yoga or to say, why am I standing here? And then you realize you are actually quite fatigued as you move on to the next pose. So I think it trains your mentality to say that whatever is going on outside, you know, it could be homework, it could be obligations, this or that, you leave it at the door and you just train. You just do what you need to do the best that you can for the moment and the pose that you're in. And you also don't compare. That's the nice thing. You don't have time to look around the room. And again, if you do look around the room, you're going to fall over. So I think, you know, it's really, really great for introspection and just improving internally, not comparing externally. And that's great for, you know, any mental preparation.
Oh, I mean, it'd be huge for kids. Huge. I mean, because
absolutely.
They have to actually slow down and concentrate rather than
yes.
over here, over there, text here, text there, watch this, do that, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it really does bring a whole other level, the way you've described it, to this idea of understanding yourself in your own space. And I think that's one of the biggest roles or big things that kids now need to understand, and how to attain elite performances. You've got to have these skills. You can't just go out there and run around like a chicken with your head cut off. You've got to have some understanding of yourself. So anyways, thank you very much, Carolyn. Again, the website is fitforlivinglife.com. And if you have any questions, you can reach out to her. She's got her email address there. Carolyn, we look forward to seeing you. We'll be down there ourselves working with you. I am very much looking forward to doing the yoga class myself, and hopefully I don't fall over. And
absolutely.
And we'll go from there.
One more thing I wanted to indicate to people is that a lot of people say, well, you have to be based where you are in order to benefit from what you have to offer. And the yoga and nutrition is actually something that I implement by Skype, email, and phone. So the people I work with are actually based all around the world for those components. For the personal training and basketball lessons that I do provide, I'm actually face-to-face with the clients that I work. But for the other components, I actually have worked with people in Europe and all over the world. So I'm just absolutely thankful, and it's wonderful to see people progress that are so many miles away, and you know that you've changed their lives, and they continue on the path of health and wellness and performing at their best. So, you know, through phone and technology and Skype and email, it's just, been, it's just great, you know, to be able to help so many people.
It is true. It's amazing technology nowadays. So, again, if you'd like information, fitforlivinglife.com. And, Carolyn, thank you very much for coming on the show today.
Great, and I look forward to seeing you as well.